The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
With as bad as the Hopkins trade is, with the barrel, they put themselves over by giving up the picks and not having Tunsil locked up. Do you think it could go down as a worse trade?
I don't think it can get any worse. I mean, the only thing that can get worse to me is the Tunsil trade if you don't re-sign him. The Hopkins trade, it can't get any worse.
I tend to agree. It seems borderline impossible to get worse. But you're right. If they can't re-sign Tunsil with what you gave up for him, that's a disastrous trade because you gave up so many like future assets.
I don't know if you've seen this yet, but the Patriots win total is going to be the lowest since 2002.
How low are they dropping it?
Looks like 8 wins.
Ooh. That's the number I was thinking. What would I take over under? That division is still not very good. Like, are we sure that the Bills are ready to be like a regular playoff appearing team? I'm not so sure.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number 3, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. If you wish to get in, you can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz. Click like, you are good to go, send a message, and our man Aaron will read it. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, you know the number for that. And been a fun first 2 hours, all available on podcastarena.com, or will be shortly. And you know what, AJ, I'm looking at this online here.
Yes.
2 pounds of bologna really doesn't look like that much.
It's not that much, but when you think about eating it in 1 minute, then it becomes, that's a lot. It's basically 2 full packs of bologna.
Right.
I don't know. It's just so gross. That's my biggest issue.
Yeah, I'm wondering how they're going to, I guess they're all going to do it at the same time.
I think so. I think that's a mistake too.
Yeah. I think they should go one by one so that this draws out a little bit.
Or at least 2 by 2.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I do like the idea of seeing someone go head-to-head, but I don't know if everybody at once is the right move.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but they've got nice graphics for this. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
So right now they're... I guess they're pimping their sponsor.
But yeah, Joey Ben Chestnut. Online, who's they're the ones who, I guess, sponsored and decided to put this thing on, which, but good idea.
Yeah. So Joey Chestnut, even money. None of this has changed since yesterday. Matt Stone, plus 400. Your long shots are Nick Weary, plus 1,200. Michelle Lesko, plus 1,200. And Badlands Booker, plus 2,000.
He's like he seems like the longest of the long shots.
I like this Breeden at plus 500.
I like him too. I mean, after talking to Joey Chestnut yesterday, Breeden and OG seem to be guys who are maybe flying under the radar. That's who he's worried about. He does not want to match up with OG in the quarterfinals, which is the Oreo round, because he thinks that OG's mouth is built to eat these tougher foods. And Joey said that he's experimented with Oreos and has cut his mouth up on the roof of his mouth trying to eat Oreos too fast. I could see that being a problem. I personally, I don't know your Oreo eating style. I like to, my wife gets mad at me about this because it is a bit messy. But, I'll wait. They're about to go into the bologna.
Yeah, they're off.
Here we go.
Yeah. We're already 10 seconds in.
There's a bit of a delay. Some of the guys eating a little bit different different Chestnut. Start time than the others.
Yeah, Chestnut's killing it, it looks like. So
Joey Chestnut is folding it up like tacos.
Matt Stoney,
I think this guy's over his head.
He's eating it like a sandwich. He's eating like 10 of them at once. Boy, Chestnut's almost done, and we're like 39 seconds. So, whoops, he's starting to struggle a little bit. Uh-oh. Yeah, this is yep, Chestnut's down to almost nothing. I said he'd get under a minute, and it looks like he is going to finish up.
He's got like one piece of bologna left, but he's got to swallow, right? He's got to clear
it. Yeah, you're a little behind me. He already did. He got it.
Oh, okay.
But Giddy and OG finishes first. Joey Chestnut second. Mickey Sudo third. Matt Stoney fourth. So the good news is Joey Chestnut doesn't have to match up against OG in the first round, which he was.
He won't have to
about.
Match him until the finals. That's his big concern, right?
And he won't have to face Darren Breeden either. He's fifth.
Okay.
And we're down to the fat guy and.
Oh, Nick just showed his tongue. He's clear. He's sixth. Okay. It's the fat guy or the girl.
Yeah.
This fat guy, I mean, he doesn't even belong on the stage. He's not a very good competitive eater. I'm not going to lie.
Eighth. That's who's going to be going up against. Yeah, he was the longest shot on the board. He's not close.
I'll be honest. Yeah. I feel like, and I'm not mad because I didn't bet on the fastest first round, but it appeared to me that Joey Chestnut got a late start. So that could have gone into effect.
But both of them under a minute, which is what I thought would happen. So,
and Badlands Booker is dead last.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a good matchup for Joey Chestnut. They're replaying it now. That'll be a good matchup for Joey Chestnut in the first round.
Matt Stoney and Mickey Sudo, very close. Well, Joey Chestnut will now have to face that girl because she got seventh.
Oh, yeah, because he was second. So he'll get Michelle Lesko. So Gideon OG will get Badlands Booker. So... That's a good 4-5 matchup.
The scary thing about Michelle Lesko is she looks like the kind of girl who, if she got broken up with, she could legitimately eat a whole pack of Oreos in one sitting. So this is there's no joke with that.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what? She looks like somebody who maybe has done that.
Wow, you know? what a debut of the. I mean, my goodness, Major League Eating. The whole thing lasted like 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my favorite part is the president of Major League Eating looks like he's never eaten anything in his life. He's like 40 pounds. I mean, that guy is a crypt keeper. So, all right, well, there you go.
Round one in the books.
Yep, and so now we know what our matchups will be.
Yep, and I'll be back for the Oreos. You better believe it.
Oh, heck yeah. So it's going to be 6 o'clock again tomorrow?
No, I think they've got a day off.
Oh, okay. So somebody said eating graphics way better than the NBA horse graphics.
Oh, yeah. Hey, how much are you taking into, how much stock do you put in Wonderlic scores?
Depends on the position.
Well, let's start at quarterback.
Okay.
Because the scores were released today, and there's a pretty broad range. The highest for quarterbacks, the highest score was Jake Fromm from Georgia, 35.
Okay,
that's strong. That's up there amongst the best. I think. Although, I mean, like Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's a rare example, he had like a 48. But 35 historically, that's good enough to be the smartest quarterback in the class. That's a pretty average top quarterback score. Joe Burrow, right behind him, and I mean you're talking about 35 down to 34. So Joe Burrow second at 34. Jordan Love, do I know?
Jose Burrow.
Oh, sorry. Jordan Love is next on the list, and there's a pretty good drop off there to 27.
Okay,
Justin Herbert and Anthony Gordon. Justin Herbert from Oregon, Anthony Gordon from Washington State, both score a 25.
Okay,
any of
these
numbers?
That's about as low as I want from a quarterback.
Okay, so that's the cutoff for you.
Yeah, maybe 20, but 25 seems fair. And yeah.
Well, let's go a little further down the list just to you know, see if I can tempt you with any of these other guys, because there you've noticed there's some names that I haven't said yet that people might be interested in. One name of major interest is James Morgan from Florida International. This is a guy who, I mean, obviously everybody's wanting to know what his Wunderlich score is. 23. Okay. Tied with Jacob Eason, 23. Lots of arm talent. Okay, brain talent.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts put up an 18. Concerning?
Okay. That's three times as good as Vince Young was, so.
That is true. And the lowest for quarterbacks, Tua Tagovailoa, 13.
Ooh. I don't like that.
It's not great.
No, it's
now,
not.
Now, here's something.
Didn't Marino have a real low one, too?
Dan Marino scored a 15.
Okay.
So, and he ended up doing okay.
He was
I'll also point out that a couple years ago, I'll give you the order from the 2018 draft class of the top five. Josh Allen was one. He had a 37. So he had higher than anybody in this class. Josh Rosen was second with a 29. Okay. Sam Darnold had a 28. Baker Mayfield had a 25. Lamar Jackson had a 13. Which one of those guys would you want right now?
I'll take the 13.
I mean,
do you have the Watson Mahomes draft?
I would have to look it up. I don't have it right in front of me, but the list of quarterbacks who have had historically high test scores, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Greg McElroy had 48s. Jason Moss had a 43. Blaine Gabbert and Drew Henson had 42s, and Ryan Nassib had a 41. So it doesn't always necessarily jump you straight into straight into success, having a high Wunderlich score. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
And I've got a list of guys who had low Wunderlich scores who ended up being pretty good. Terry Bradshaw with a 16. Dan Marino, we mentioned, with a 16. Randall Cunningham and Jim Kelly both had 15s. Vince Young had a 15. Steve McNair had a 15. So it's not the end of the world.
I thought Vince Young had a 6.
I don't think that was accurate. I don't think that was accurately reported.
I've got the 2017 draft, which was the Mahomes and Watson.
Okay, what were the scores there?
Number one, Brad Kaya from Miami. Had a 34 out of 50.
Okay.
Second in line was Nathan Peterman out of Pitt with a 33. Then Trevor Knight from Texas A&M with a 30. Josh Dobbs had 29. Deshone Kizer had 28. And then, let's see, C.J. Beathard had a 26.
None of these guys are in the league, are they? I think C.J. Beathard might still be in the league. Barely.
This guy is Mitch Trubisky, 25.
Okay, 25.
Place. Davis Webb followed him with a 25 as well. Patrick Mahomes, 24 out of 50.
Okay, respectable.
Chad Kelly was in 10th with 22. Gerard Evans from Virginia Tech at 20 with 21 out of 50. And Deshaun Watson, 20 out of 50.
Was he last place?
Yep.
That's a pretty smart class.
Out of the 12 quarterbacks that were
listening. Yeah, that is a pretty good class in terms
now, of. Here's the concern. This is they say that a person who scores a 10 on the Wunderlich is borderline illiterate. Jerry Jeudy scored a 9 on the Wunderlich. As a wide receiver, does that bother you?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, to me, you know, I mean, the guy runs pretty good routes, so you don't have to be smart to be a receiver. Sorry.
Okay. Well, CeeDee Lamb scored a 12. T. Higgins scored an 11. So there's a lot of wide receivers who didn't score very well.
Yeah, I don't need my receivers to be smart. I just need them to be fast and catch the damn ball. I want a smart quarterback. I want smart offensive linemen. I want smart safeties.
Okay.
Other than that, I don't really care.
Middle linebacker, maybe?
Maybe middle linebacker, yeah. Although, if you've got great instincts, I'm okay with that, too.
All right, what'd you say here, Aaron? All state siding and windows. And, guys, you may be thinking, this isn't a great time for me to get my windows replaced. but you'd be wrong because Allstate Siding and Windows, they've got a great deal going right now with their spring special. No payments for 2 years, 30% off all windows. So if you're not paying for 2 years, we'll be through this by then, and you get 2 years of saving. That's right. Save up to 40% on your energy bill with new windows, new vinyl windows from Allstate Siding and Windows. And they're taking the extra steps. They're being extra cautious. All the precautions are being made when they're installing, when they're giving estimates. They're doing everything the right way to make sure that their employees are safe and their customers are safe. You want the best rate? Call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows. They've got senior discounts, cash discounts, military discounts, first responder discounts. They got you covered. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or check them out at Allstate Sidings and SidingandWindows.com. That's Allstate Siding and Windows.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And speaking of quarterbacks, I noticed you had a Twitter thread going today that I finally had to mute the conversation about Deshaun Watson.
I always hate that. I feel like I should go in and take everybody out of the conversation who doesn't belong in it. But, you know.
Yeah, I do that with mine when it gets going. But, I mean, it's easy. I just mute the conversation after about 12, I think. But, you know, there was the point kind of discussing whether or not you pay Deshaun Watson. Look, I love the guy, but I'm kind of I wouldn't be working on the extension just yet.
And I'm definitely not looking at any extension that has the number 40 per year thrown around. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's and I would especially, and I mentioned this before, I'd be real cautious about the salary cap right now. I don't, you know, they keep saying, oh, it's going to go up because of these new TV deals. Well, you're about to lose a bunch of money and a bunch of revenue from ticket sales and jersey sales and stuff like that. I think, you know, before I locked into something like that, I think I'd be kind of careful. And
yeah,
in his case, I want to see what he does next year. And if he earns it, great. But he needs to get more consistent. And he may never be as great as he can be with Bill O'Brien. Let's, you know, be perfectly honest about that.
That's true. My concern is, I mean, if you sign him, presumably he's here with Bill O'Brien, right?
Right.
So the question becomes, you've seen how the Texans build around Deshaun when he's on his first contract. If you pay him $40 million per year, do you trust that Bill O'Brien is going to be able to build a winner around him? I can't picture it.
I don't trust that. But that doesn't mean you don't pay him. So,
yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know if I would pay him. And I know that's a crazy thing to say because he's a great quarterback. And I think he's a top 10 quarterback in the league. There were people arguing me that he was he's a top 3 quarterback. And to everybody who said he's a top 3 quarterback, I said, who's your favorite team? And then, of course, they're like, well, I mean, I get it. I see potential in Deshaun Watson. I certainly do. But until he actually does something with it, I'm sorry. You can't call that guy a top 3 quarterback in the league. You can't say that.
No, I think
he's better than Drew Brees because he's not better than Drew Brees.
No, I think you can make a case for him as high as 5 or 6, maybe, but I think he's in that 6 to 10 range.
I think so too. I do think he's not in the top 5. I think he's in the next 5. I think he's in the same group as Dak Prescott. So I'm just not paying those guys like that first tier of guys. And here's what I know about Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees. Those are guys who can get to a Super Bowl and win it. That puts them in a different category altogether. You know, I believe Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, obviously, you're getting diminishing returns on now. You're going to start getting them, certainly. Although this season, Drew Brees was better than Deshaun Watson. Aaron Rodgers is another guy who I think there's a decline happening there, certainly. Aaron Rodgers is still really, really good. Is he as good as he was 3-4 years ago? Not even close. But I can at least make the argument for him that, you know what, that's a dude who's taken a team to a Super Bowl and won it. There's a small group of those guys, and that's the guys that I'd be willing to pay the top bucks. And then there's like that next tier. And, you know, if you're not happy, and this is what I'm saying to Dak and Deshaun, guys who haven't even been to a Super Bowl, if you're not happy getting the money that, like, Jared Goff or Matt Ryan, guys who have gotten to a Super Bowl, even though they didn't win it, and Matt Ryan especially, won an MVP and gotten to a Super Bowl, if you think you should get more money than him, tell me why. I don't get it.
I don't either, but that's where these guys are, their agents are all going to say, well, we should make more than this guy or this guy. And I mean, I get where they're coming from, but the reality is, I think, especially with the quarterback, because the price tag is so high, that, you know, you have to make sure that this is your guy. Now, I think Watson's their guy, but I'm not going to pay $40 million a year. And I think that, and nor should they, not unless next year he takes him to a Super Bowl. And if he does, okay. You know, I mean, I don't think he should make more than Patrick Mahomes, but, you know, even if they were to go to the Super Bowl and win, and unless he gets MVP and Super Bowl MVP in the same year, then we can have that discussion about whether or not he should get as much as Mahomes. But otherwise, he shouldn't make what Patrick Mahomes is going to make.
And, no.
You know, I think that's, to me, that's where the standard should be. But, yeah, I think...
But to just say that, like, you've got to pay Deshaun Watson $40 million, you just have to... I can't get with that, I don't think.
I can't either. But how long was it when Brees got the Super Bowl? He ain't great. Give Deshaun and Dak some time, fools.
Okay. And once they show me they can do it, maybe then I'll consider giving them $40 million, fool. I mean, yeah. Drew Brees was better than Dak and Deshaun last year. Drew Brees missed 5 games. And threw more touchdowns than Deshaun. I mean, that should tell you something. He missed 5 games with injury, and he still threw for more touchdowns than Deshaun did. Fool.
You know how many players had better QBRs than Drew Brees last year?
How many?
Two.
One, two? Okay. Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. And
that's the thing. And then you'll say, like, well, if you're putting together a top five, how are you putting Deshaun in that and Dak or Dak Prescott in that, but you're not putting Lamar Jackson? And it's like, oh, he hasn't done it long enough. What do you mean? He won an MVP in his second year. He's lost like 5 games in 2 years combined. The guy's pretty good.
Oh, boy. This guy's just a dumb. Ain't about the money. Those boys are some athletes, fool. Yeah, it is about the money.
Oh,
genius.
God, this is why I don't have the text line. I can't manage it.
Yeah, well.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, that's
yes,
okay.
Yes, they're an athlete. Guess what? So is Lamar Jackson, fool. And Lamar Jackson's better than those guys right now. So is Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is better than those guys now. So is Patrick Mahomes, better than those guys now. So I don't get what the point of this discussion is. Are those guys good? Yeah. Are they in the top five good? I say no. Are they in that next five? Yeah, it's a good place to be. All you got to do is prove to me that you deserve to get paid like those top five guys. And until you do, I'm not just assuming. Well, I mean, hell, we've seen Dak for 4 years. Like, how long should it really take for us to figure out if he's the truth or not.
Well, the flip side of that is, in Dak's case, you've got to make a decision. I mean, and I think it was the right thing to franchise him because, you know, I think it's fair that you got a new coach. Let's see what he can do with a new coach. But I'm not giving him an extension right now. I'm gonna make him play it out on the franchise tag. And with Watson, you don't have to do anything until next year. I mean, you can negotiate now, but why would you? I mean, I'd say, hey, give me another year. But, yeah, oh well. We got to Friday at 6:27 before we got a really bad texture. So that's something. That's a pretty good week, man. So, you know, what are you going to do? But, yeah. I mean, I think it's making a decision on how much you're going to pay your quarterback is the most important thing a team can do.
It really is.
And, you know, a lot of people after Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl were like, hey, maybe you shouldn't pay him and go get somebody else. And everybody's like, oh, that's ridiculous.
Well, and look at the 2 years that Jared Goff had, his 2018 and 2019 season. And it'll make you go, or 2017 and 2018, right? And it'll make you go, well, damn, maybe they did have to pay him. But then right now, obviously, he's not worth what they paid him. So to me, that's like a warning sign of like, dude, this guy had 2 great years. I mean, and if you add up the numbers over his 2 years, you average those 2 years out, his first 2 years with McVay, he was phenomenal. It doesn't look like he's phenomenal right now, and it's definitely scary. So it would make me less excited to give a quarterback $40 million. I'm telling you, it's going to be like baseball, where the money gets so crazy that they have to dial it back because it's the only way it makes financial sense.
Well, I'll tell you what. When we come back, I'll make the case if I'm Dak's agent for why you should pay him that much.
Okay.
So we'll take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. When I die, I put my money in a grave. I really gotta put a couple in a place. Really just left every.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Only 2 segments to go in the week, man. It has been flying by. Here's the case I would make for Dak as to why. Well, I'm not making a case for him making $40 million. Let me make that clear. But if total QBR, he was 4th in the league last year. He was ahead of Russell Wilson, ahead of Matt Stafford, Deshaun Watson, and then 8-9 were Ryan Fitzpatrick and Ryan Tannehill. So I don't know how much you want to trust the stat. Derek Carr was 10th. And some of the guys who were getting paid, Matt Ryan 14 last year, Tom Brady 17, Aaron Rodgers 20. The difference between Dak and Russell, and also this kind of ties into a question Lamont had about the Sean McVay hype train. I think what happened there was suddenly Todd Gurley couldn't run anymore. And without him to set up everything else, that offense struggled. And I think the same thing would happen to the Cowboys if they didn't. Well, we saw what they were without Zeke when he was suspended, which was, I think, a dumb suspension. But the one thing that's different is Dak's team runs the football very well. They've got an elite running back, and that sets up. It makes the passing much, much easier for Dak. He's also got a great offensive line. Russell Wilson doesn't have any of those things. And
that's the question.
He has to be the offense.
If Dak looked behind him, and instead of Ezekiel Elliott, he saw Rashad Penny or Chris Carson. And then when he looked to his left and his right, instead of seeing Amari Cooper, he looks over and he sees, oh, there's Tyler Lockett. Like, is Dak going to be as successful? My guess is no. And listen, the Seahawks, they made their choice, and they lost a ton of talent around around Russell. And they knew it was going to happen, and it happened on offense and defense. Here's I think, the two differences. One is I think Russell Wilson is one of the very few guys who can carry a franchise, who can take talent that's not all that great and make something of it. I think that there's something to be said about. Now, has he won a Super Bowl without that talent? Nope. But he's kept that team competitive. The other thing that I think sort of separates the Seahawks situation is the Seahawks, John Schneider and Pete Carroll are regarded as one of the most respected front offices in the NFL. I don't think Bill O'Brien is that. I don't think Jason Garrett and you know, Jerry Jones' son, whoever was running the damn thing, I don't think they're regarded as that. So that's the difference, is you've got to have the right people. The right guy has to be the guy that you say, we're going to build our team around you. And then you have to have the people that are smart enough to build a competitive squad around them. And I definitely don't trust the Texans to build a competitive squad around Deshaun Watson after he gets paid. I don't see it.
Well, yeah, and to that point, there's a texter said, how do you quantify being on a crappier team? Watson isn't top five, but he also had Bob weighing him down, and he has a bunch of other stuff. But the reality is, and I said this when the Chiefs drafted Mahomes, that I would rather have Mahomes with Andy Reid than I would Deshaun Watson with Bill O'Brien.
Had they switched places, I think that we would be talking about Deshaun Watson as one of the best guys in the league. I don't disagree with that. But do I think that I also think that Patrick Mahomes is special, and I think Patrick Mahomes is, no matter who he's with, I think that he would probably excel.
I think he'd be good, but if he'd gone to Cleveland, do I think he'd be what he is?
Probably not. No, you're that's fair.
Because so much of this is developing these guys, and Andy Reid's done that throughout his career. He was winning games with Detmers, for God's sakes, when McNabb was hurt.
Yep.
So, you know, that, and you know, and that that's part of it, certainly, is you get a guy like that, and you're getting that he gets the very best out of Patrick Mahomes. So that, I don't know that Pat Mahomes would be that if he were with Bill O'Brien. I think he'd be good. I think he might be what Deshaun Watson is. Flashes of brilliance, but, you know, never, not quite consistent enough yet. And to me, this has to be the year that Watson takes a step. If he's going to be an elite quarterback, then, yeah, sometimes you have to overcome coaching. And to me, this has to be the year. And if it is, by all means, pay him.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of guys, like Jared Goff. You put Jared Goff on the Browns. I mean, what would he be?
He'd probably be garbage.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality. And do I think that Sean McVay had a lot to do with Jared Goff's success? Certainly. But then you also have to look at, well, does Jared Goff fit his scheme perfectly? And the answer is probably yes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, so much of it is situations, though. And some guys just get ruined by being in a bad situation. And, you know, that can't be overlooked either. I think there's a lot of quarterbacks who could have been really good. But you know what? David Carr is a pretty good example. I don't think David Carr was a bad quarterback at all, but they ruined that guy. And he went through, three offensive coordinators and no offensive line. And he actually, if you go back and look, he had a couple of pretty good seasons. But he never had a chance to develop in that situation. And in a better situation, he might have been okay.
Well, I guess he's a tough example, but you're right. He certainly would have been in a better scenario or situation pretty much anywhere else. But that's the lot he was dealt. He joined a franchise that was an expansion franchise. There we knew there was going to be bumps and bruises. Then you could say, well, that's the Texans' fault for drafting a guy that, you know, wasn't going to be able to succeed without everything built in place for him. And at the same time, you could say, well, David Carr, who knows what he might have been had he gone second overall. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's a lot of young quarterbacks that go at the top of the draft. It's just a fact. You're going to go to a bad team that's probably poorly coached.
That's why the Browns have never hit on quarterback.
No.
And I know people think that they've hit now, and trust me, they thought they hit with Johnny Manziel. They always think they hit. Until somebody sticks around for 5-6 years, I'm not buying into it.
No.
Because it's a very tough place to win.
Well, and look at the Bills. You went through that whole list of quarterbacks before Allen. I mean, the same thing. And, you know, they had some success with Tyrod Taylor and Ryan Fitzpatrick. But, I mean, if that's the best you have. 713 asks, I was having a discussion with my buddy the other day on this. Do you think Watson would be an MVP like Mahomes in the Chiefs offense? He says, Watson is faster and throws a better deep ball. I disagree with the better deep ball.
There's not even a question that I disagree with the better deep. He is faster.
Yeah, but Mahomes throws one of the – I mean, Mahomes has one of the best arms in the league. I don't know that there's two guys with better arms than Patrick Mahomes. And he
also, the sneaky secret that we don't like to talk about around here is that Deshaun Watson is not very careful with the ball.
No.
That doesn't mean
he can't learn to be, though.
Right, I agree. But on top of the interceptions, a lot of fumbles for that guy –
yeah.
And obviously that comes with getting sacked a lot. But we talk about this, you know, during the season. Not all the sacks not all the times Deshaun Watson gets sacked is it, oh, man, the offensive line couldn't hold up for him. More often than not, it's Deshaun's holding on to the ball too long, which is something you'll never hear somebody say about Patrick Mahomes.
No, and the thing is, my hope is, and this is why I'd give it another year and make him prove it to me, but – go look at Aaron Rodgers early in his career. Turned the ball over a bunch. Got better. Same thing with Matt Ryan, frankly. This guy, Matt Ryan came into the league as a guy who threw
Andrew
a lot
Luck.
Of interceptions. Yeah, I mean, that's – of course, he turned it around pretty quickly. But
Peyton Manning's another – I mean, he's like the historical example.
Well, Troy Aikman, too, was his first
year.
But those were 1 year. And then those guys were great. So, I mean, you're talking about year four now, and I mean, or year three. I mean, whatever. I think he's got to take a step here and show that he can do that. But, and then 832 says, and there's the blueprint, you know, talent, time to sit and learn under a good, not necessarily great, but good mentor in Smith and a program that understands the long-term goal. That was perfect for him. And, you know, that the Texans didn't have the luxury of that because Tom Savage wasn't any good.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was kind of the plan for him. But we'll see, man. I think the potential is there. The flashes are there. But, yeah, he has to get more consistent. And it's holding onto the ball too long, and then they have got a scheme better to where they're not running these deep drops with eight men coming after the quarterback and not having enough guys to protect them because – you know, inevitably he either gets creamed or he makes some magical escape and then makes a play. But you can't ask him to do that every single time.
Right.
All right. Quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, I got to tell you guys about Carbach. And obviously I'm I partake in the Carbach. And while they are not open, the restaurant's not open, the brewery's not open for people to come in and just have a drink while this is going on, they are making sure that they keep up with their stock. So grocery stores, gas stations, you go into one, you're going to find Carbach there. And Carbach, they're not just doing things for people, you know, during COVID-19. They're not helping out people who are in need just during COVID-19. They do it year-round. Crawford Bach, every Crawford Bach supports the Astros Foundation. Southern Wheat supports Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation. Coastal Conservation Ale support CCA of Texas, and they put this out there year-round. It's just the kind of guys they are. They've got a ton of great beers for everybody. Love Street, Hopadillo, Crawford Bach, Southern Wheat, Weekend Warrior Pale Ale. They've got a ton of different IPAs. They've got Rattlers. They've got the Tex-Mex beers. You want it, they got it. If you maybe you'll be lucky enough to find some BBH during this pandemic. Guys, follow them on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter to see when things will get back to normal. But until then, when you get out to the grocery store or you have your groceries deliver, make sure they put some Carbach in there.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One last segment to go in the week. And apparently, you know, we never got to the Twitter things about where a comedian asked Ellen for Ellen's stories, and there were just some nightmare stories that he got. Well, apparently now they're not communicating with her staff or stage crew members, about 30 employees. They're not getting information about compensation. They called producers and Warner Brothers. And nobody answered, and finally they were told they were getting a 60% reduction in pay, and that if she does the show from home, they're going to use a different crew and all kinds of stuff. So I don't know how much of that is her and how much of that is the show, but a lot of stuff coming out about what a turd Ellen is. So
yeah, I'd never heard any of that. I mean, she treats her fans so well, you would just assume, right?
Yeah, I had never heard any of that either, but apparently she's just a nightmare to work for. So
it's not shocking. That's
and I think my favorite story from that, at some point we'll get to it. My favorite story was she went to a restaurant, and she wanted the waiter fired because she didn't like the way the waiter was talking to her. So
okay,
you know, yeah. All right, let's do stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week.
Yeah, and you're at the table with a bunch of these guys who have computer money and stuff like that.
So his team suspended him, which...
Is he suspended or virtually suspended?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. I guess you can't do any iRacing right now. You have to be over the global 5.5-inch average to join.
Okay.
That is your...
I'm logging on now.
Jewelers. Yeah, you know, next trip to London, man.
Yeah.
Just thinking.
Yeah. All right, look at this.
It's 5.75. It's over.
That's right.
All right. You know, the last one of those I liked was probably that. Oh, there you go. That was a good one. Jeez, 5:50 p.m. 1865, Abraham Lincoln got it through his head. He wasn't one of his
friends
anymore.
Oh, come on.
Sorry. Okay, I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to go with the guys who say...
You're kind of like a doctor.
Well, no. I'm kind of a marvel of science, and as that, I'm okay with heavy drinking.
Okay.
I'm as long,
if you say you're okay with it, then, I mean, you're like Dr. Fauci to me. Dr. Fred Fauci.
There you go. Michael Jordan has some concerns about this 30 for 30 that's coming out, or documentary. It's not a 30 for 30.
I didn't know that he was concerned about it. I know it's coming out. I figured he'd be excited. What's he worried about?
He says it's going to make him look like a horrible guy.
Oh, huh. Imagine that. You know, I think Hitler had concerns about Schindler's List for some reason. Guess what else is really insensitive about him? He drives his own midget team.
Oh, well, there you go. You can't.
Yeah, that's just... I mean, listen, we all know they're called little cars.
1912, Captain Edward Smith, captain of the RMS Titanic.
One of many to go that day, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, 1,515 other passengers after it hit the iceberg.
You know what? If they had just quarantined... Like, if Abraham Lincoln would have been quarantined at home, he wouldn't have gone into the theater... guess what? He'd still be alive today. Guess what? If all those people on the Titanic had just stayed at home instead of going on a disgusting germ-filled cruise, guess what? They'd all be alive today.
This is how the Post phrases it, not me. I want to make that clear. Some disgusting U.S. landlords are taking advantage of the coronavirus crisis by trying to coerce their cash-strapped tenants into sex-for-rent agreements.
Oh, I've seen that on Pornhub. That's a real thing.
Yeah.
Stupid stuff. We've said this week.
Oh, boy. Fun week. So, all right. Well, what are you guys doing besides poker tomorrow?
I've got no plans.
Yeah. I was going to do that writing workshop on Sunday, but I want to wait because hopefully I hope to have the novel out Monday is the goal. I'm pretty much done. I have two chapters left, and then I go through and add a bunch of stuff to it. And I'm going to have a bold statement.
How did the first novel take you like 20 years, and then this one you pumped out in like 6 days?
Well, I mean, a lot happened there because it was – I wrote it and then sold it, and then that fell through, and then it was going to be a movie, and then that fell through, and then I just dropped it for a few years. And once I decided to write it, it came together pretty quickly. But this one, I'm going to make a bold statement here. I think it's better than the first one. It's very different. You know, doesn't quite have as much of the dark humor that's in the first one, but there's a lot of holy bleep moments in it. And, you know, it has kind of a Stephen King-ish feel because I wrote this one differently to where the chapters, like you end a chapter with one character with kind of a cliffhanger and then you jump to another character. And, you know, I'm pretty sure it's going to be really, people are going to like it. There's lots of violence, lots of good violence, and a little less sex than the first one, but a lot more violence. So nothing like Boudreaux, but
okay.
some pretty cool stuff. So, but I hope to have that done, and then we'll do the workshop next Sunday. But sign up for the poker tournament, and if you haven't been approved yet, just be patient. It will happen. All right, man. Good week, boys. I think we all deserve A pluses for this week. I think went pretty damn well.
Well, I don't know about A pluses. I at least solid A minuses.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about this week.
Well, if we were keeping up with the WNBA draft, maybe then.
Damn. All right, great job, Hoffman. Great job, Aaron. Enjoy your beer tonight with the late hits coming up next. We will be back on Monday. Till then, stay corona-free, bitches.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.